When we survey all the moral impediments in life, what might be two that are foremost, most prominent? I believe it's no exaggeration to say they are jealousy and resentment, and that jealousy and resentment are very difficult to overcome. I'll never forget one time watching Cavaliero Rusticana with my mother, and the opening scene is of a woman who is jealously in love with this man who could care less. And she's crying, and it's almost as if she's going to die. And her mother there is trying to console her. And I'll never forget turning to my mother and saying, "The guy's a bum. Dump him. Dump him." And my mother turned to me and she said, "It doesn't go that way." I believe we can say that when jealousy or resentment takes hold of us, to get rid of it is very difficult, and it just doesn't go away. It doesn't go that way. Today I'd like to delve into the subject of jealousy, and let's start with some quotes on it that give us a setting. "Whenever a friend succeeds, a little something in me dies." Now, that was said by Gore Vidal. "A favorite has no friend." That is a quote from Thomas Gray. "An envious heart makes a treacherous ear." That is by Zora Neale Hurston. And finally, "Jealousy in romance is like salt in food. A little can enhance the savor, but too much can spoil the pleasure, and in some circumstances can be life-threatening." And that is by Maya Angelou. Now let's take an article by our favorite spiritual writer, Ron Rollheiser. The article is "Congenial Jealousy and Higher Invitation." Let's see where he takes this subject and what he has to offer us from the scriptures. He writes, "All of you are loving each other, and I may be left out." And that's with an exclamation mark. That feeling, that particular fear, according to Robert Moore, lies at the base of jealousy. That was the fear of Cain, the biblical character who was the first person to murder his brother out of jealousy. What prompted his jealousy? Whatever it is that lies inside this metaphor, God looked with favor upon Abel and his offering, but God did not look with favor upon Cain and his offering. For whatever reason, it seemed to Cain that everyone else was loving each other, and he was left out. And so Scripture says, jealousy turned him into a killer, and I suspect the identical dynamic is present every time we see a mass murder like the ones that occurred at Virginia Tech, Columbine, and more recently in Germany and Alabama. The killers are always lonely, dangerously isolated individuals who, no doubt, share with Cain the experience of seeing others offering an acceptable and their own not. Everything else, it seems, is loving each other, and they are being left out. Moreover, what we see acted out so horrifically in these mass murders often acts itself out inside of us on a smaller stage. Because of jealousy, we too are all killers, except when we kill, we do not do it with guns, we do it with thoughts and words. Henry Nouwen once coined this mantra, "Anyone shot by a gun is first shot by a word, and anyone shot by a word is first shot by a thought." He's right. We murder in our thoughts every time we say inside ourselves, "Who does he think he is? She thinks she's so clever. He thinks he's God's gift to creation. She's so full of herself." Who of us has not walked into a meeting room, a church assembly, a family dinner, a social situation, or a gathering of some kind, and not unlike the mass murderers at Columbine or Virginia Tech, subtly sprayed bullets of jealous anger around the gathering? When we are wounded like Cain, when it seems like our offering is not being accepted while that of others is, when it seems like everyone is loving each other and we are being left out, the spontaneous impulse is to kill in word, thought, and attitude. What is to be done? How do we live beyond jealousy and the sense of being left out? The first thing is to admit our jealousy. It is never a question of whether we suffer from jealousy or not, but only of what we do with our jealousy. We all suffer from jealousy and the bitter and murderous thoughts that it can trigger. Once we have admitted that we are jealous, we are invited to move on and see our response to jealousy as precisely the greatest moral and spiritual challenge of our lives. This is not overstated. When we look at the drama of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the drama in which he struggles to give his death over to us as he has been giving his life over, we see that this drama is precisely a drama of love, not a physical one. Unlike Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of Christ, the gospel accounts of Jesus' passion and death do not emphasize his physical sufferings. In fact, they almost write them out. What they do emphasize, rather, is his mortal, moral, and emotional loneliness, his distance from others, his being cut out of the circle of human understanding, and his exclusion from human intimacy. The gospel tells us that he was a stone's throw from everyone, a condition Gil Braille characterizes as unanimity minus one. As Jesus approached his death, his earthly experience paralleled that of Cain. His offering, it seemed, was not being accepted either by God or everyone around him. He felt the radical isolation that comes precisely from exclusion, from misunderstanding, from being the object of hatred. The human temptation surely must have been towards bitterness, anger, self-pity, and hatred. But his actions are the antithesis of Cain's, and his response to the bitter feelings that surely must have arisen inside of him constitute precisely his real sacrifice and are the great moral challenge he left us. Surrounded by jealousy, hatred, and misunderstanding, he gives his life over in trust. When everything tempts him towards bitterness, he moves towards graciousness. When everything tempts him towards hatred, he moves towards love. When everything tempts him towards shutting out others, he makes himself still more vulnerable so that others can come in. When all around him there is coldness, paranoia, and curses, he affirms others, blesses them, and affirms warmth and trust. What a person does when love turns sour is the real drama of love. Cain gives us one answer. Jesus gives us another. What's our answer in these moments of our lives when we sense that all of you are loving each other and I may be left out? End of discussion on jealousy.